Changing leaders.
So it's really about breaking that cycle and getting out of that model where, you know, the banks are taking your money instead of you keeping it.
After 16 years working in the financial education space, founder and author of The Millionaire Choice, Tony Bradshaw, felt there were many people still not receiving the help they need to get their finances on track. He has a 10-step strategy to becoming a millionaire. Tony Bradshaw, The Millionaire Choice, my next guest on Self Talk Radio Show. Brought to you by Pure Energy Apothecary, people and planet-friendly skincare. Find them at Bed Bath & Beyond or online at pureenergybody.com. Hi, Tony.
Hey, Sarah. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm so excited. I want to know your story because it sounds like you came from humble beginnings. Is that true?
Yeah, I grew up in a lower income area of Nashville, Tennessee, and back in the day, right? It's been a long time. It goes by so fast. That area is now kind of getting revitalized here in Nashville. But back when I was there, you know, we were, you know, living low income and the things that come with low income families.
Yeah. And how did you... It sounds like you decided at 25 that you were going to become a millionaire. Is that true?
Yes. It was a total change from, you know, the family I grew up in and the, you know, the grandparents, the whole thing. It was just a total about, you know, shift from what we were taught, right? And that's when I decided to make my choice.
Did you have a hard time with your family, like family and friends especially? Sometimes if you try to live above your means, they say, you know, you don't be too big for your britches. I think that was one of the phrases I got hit with as a kid. Did that ever happen to you?
No, not really. My parents were very encouraging, especially my mom. I mean, my mom and dad both grew up in like broken families, divorced homes, just very, very difficult life growing up for both of them. And so they kind of tried to overcompensate for us, even though we were a low income family. I didn't really realize I was growing up in a low income family other than, you know, we didn't have the designer shoes or anything like that. But my parents were always very supportive. I think they were parents that were kind of wired to try to help us do better than they were doing, you know, trying to give us a step up or a leg up. And so they sacrificed a lot for us and always encouraged us to always do our best.
You say a lot of us come from bad money habits. What are some of the most common mistakes you see out there?
Oh, obviously overspending. People always want to buy things now. And I think the way we're wired, we're not really wired to think about the future value of money. It's just really the immediate gratification. And so you get caught with overspending. And then and on top of the overspending, you get into credit card debt, right? So when you actually need money to have money in the bank to take care of something like a car breaking down or a car, you know, just totally going out, you need to go buy one. So you go back into debt to take care of your needs. And I think that's one of the biggest things is we don't have the money around when we really need it. And that keeps us from, you know, moving forward in life.
And how would someone go about fixing a bad credit score? You'd mentioned, you know, a car breaking down or medical bills. Anyone could be tossed off their horse pretty quickly. What is a way that you see that someone could repair their credit and improve upon that? Or is that something they should even work on?
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that because when I made my financial decision, what I call my millionaire choice, millionaire or not, you can choose, at 25, the first thing I identified was that debt was my enemy. And so my goal was to get out of debt as quickly as possible. Fortunately, I only had about $16,000 in debt as a 25-year-old. I had a car that I had financed, and you know, I paid it off within about 3 years, and I haven't had a car payment since that time. And so that was back in 1999, I think. I paid the car off in 1998, 99.
Wow.
It was 98. Yeah, it was 98 because I paid it off right before I got married. And we got married in 98. And so I haven't had a car payment since 1998. And then after that, we got rid of all of our credit card debt. And so had no consumer debt. My wife and I have had no consumer debt since about 2001. And so for me, credit's kind of what I determined was that credit was not in my future. And so I got out of debt as fast as possible, cut up all my credit cards, got rid of them. And a few years after we got out of debt, I was going through my files and found one that we had forgot to cut up. And I'm like, what the heck is this thing doing in here? And
wow.
Chose to, you know, get rid of that one too. Yeah. And then we paid off our house and our first house. It was actually our second house, but the first house we paid off in 2009. 2007. 2007. Yeah, and then we, you know, went back into debt for a new house and then paid that one off in 2012. So for me, my lifestyle, and, it worked for me, and necessarily for other people, they choose to do a different path. But I determined that debt was my enemy, and I did that at age 25. And I'm like, you know, debt holds me back. It's not something I want to carry forward in my life. I'm out. And so my whole mindset was just get out of debt and never go back. And we've been able to do that. And because of that, you know, we just started paying cash for cars. And our first car that we paid cash for cost us, I think it was $3,250. And so because we weren't in debt, we were able to save money. And then when we needed to buy that car, we were able to pay cash for it.
Wow.
And, it's a different lifestyle. It's a different way of thinking than most people do today. And, the average Americans, paying, I think it's $35,000 for a car and financing it for like 6 or 7 years. And so, and then at the end of that 6 or 7 years, the car's essentially worth nothing. And then they go right back into the same cycle again. And so it's really about breaking that cycle and getting out of that model where, the banks are taking your money instead of you keeping it.
We're speaking with Tony Bradshaw. He is the author of The Millionaire Choice, Millionaire or Not. And we're going to find out the 10 steps that he recommends of how he worked to get to be a millionaire and has helped others on their path to being a millionaire when we come back on Self-Talk Radio Show. Think websites are old-fashioned, out of touch with your core audience? Think again. While your tribe may love you on Instagram, you may be missing out on a whole client base that searches for you on Bing or Google. Then what? WebHelp US built Self-Talk Radio Show's website, and I love it. Podcast uploads, open graph tags, SEO stuff, they do it all for me. WebHelp US, they even think of things like backing up my website, checking for viruses and stuff I frankly don't have time for. WebHelp US, professional websites for big picture people. WebHelpUS.com. Welcome back. I'm Sarah Spencer. My guest is Tony Bradshaw. He is the author of The Millionaire Choice, Millionaire or Not. I was reading your blog, and you have a really different way of thinking, and I really like it. First of all, you're talking about not, debt is your enemy. And second, you did a blog that's called 2,000 Hours. And kind of breaking your life down and into work of 2,000 hours. Can you talk to me a little more about that? I just found it so interesting.
Yeah, I guess, and this is something I came across later in life. When I first made my millionaire choice, I really thought I was doing pretty well because I was making about $40,000, $45,000 a year. And my parents, who had been, they were older than me, and I was already right out of college making more money than my parents were making. So I felt pretty successful from that standpoint. Here I am, a 25-year-old young man, yet I'm making more money than my mom and dad. But I didn't really have a vision because of the low-income mindset. I didn't have a vision of where my full potential was. And so, at that stage in life, I felt like $40,000, $45,000 was really good income, and it was for that season. But I really had no concept that I could actually make $100,000 a year or more in my lifetime. That's not the way my parents were wired. That's not the way my grandparents or any of our family members. And so it wasn't until I started seeing my income go up, I got into a different job position, that I started to really understand what a person's potential is, where they could go from, making low income to making, a really nice income. And so, and the more you look at that, I looked at everybody works about 2,000 hours or more per year. And so that's a 40-hour work week times 52 weeks, take 2 weeks off for vacation. So about 2,000 hours, depending on what your job, your vacation time is. And what hit me was, as a young man, I made $33.35 an hour working for my mother. This was when I was about 13. That's when I started my work career. And then it was always this mindset of, if I could just make one more dollar an hour, my whole life is going to change, to go from $3.35 to $4 or $4.50. And guess what? When I got that raise, my life didn't really change at all. But that I was still in that hourly mindset. And so when you start to break down your life and you go, I have about 2,000 hours a year that I'm available to work. How much money do I really want to work or make per hour? And so, are you going to be in that, $20 an hour range, which would be about $40,000 a year? what can you do to increase that? And so, and it was really a different mindset shift for me to go, you know, what is my time worth and how can I maximize that time? You get to really choose. And that's what it comes down to, you know, on this millionaire path, we get to choose how much money we make. We just have to invest in ourselves to increase that amount of money.
Yeah,
That blew my mind.
I loved it. And in your book, you talk about the 10 keys of the millionaire. What are those 10 keys?
Yeah, so I think the big thing with money that makes my book a little bit different than a lot of the financial books out there is a lot of the financial books focus just on money. And I believe that your character and your time management are the foundation of what you're going to be able to do in your lifetime. And so I start out my 10 millionaire keys with develop strong character, because I don't believe you can build or keep wealth unless you have strong character. And then I move into time management. Everybody has the same amount of time in their lifetime. Well, depending on how old you live, but your daily hours and your monthly hours. And a lot of people, sadly, will waste a lot of their time, and they could be reinvesting in themselves or trying to, you know, improve their income. And so you want to make sure that you're managing your time well and not like spending on television. And so that's a big deal. The average American watches about 30 hours of television a week, which is works out to about 120 hours a month, which is essentially a full-time job. And sadly, that's one of the reasons I believe that, you know, 78% of people are living paycheck to paycheck, because they're not doing the right things with their time to get ahead. And then after you get past that, those kind of foundational elements of character and time, you get into, you know, you got to invest in your life, learn about money. And so you can't get ahead with money if you don't learn about money. Just like you study math, English, and science, you need to take time to learn about money. And so sadly, we don't really learn a lot about that in our school system today. So you've got to go out and figure it out on your own in most cases. And then probably the one I think that I wish I had done, honestly, when I was writing the book, I added this, which is find a money mentor. I was kind of a do-it-yourself guy and very independent, because my parents really didn't have mentors in their lives or leaders. And so I didn't really learn that as a 25-year-old. It came later on my journey. And I really believe you need to find somebody who's smarter with money than you are. And that's what a money mentor is, somebody who you can go to and ask questions about. Most of your friends are doing the same stupid stuff with money. Your parents are doing the same stupid stuff. So you can't go to them for advice, but you need to find somebody that's a little bit smarter. And then we get into the money principles, you know, steps, millionaire keys 5 through 10, which is watch your money, which is budgeting, avoiding debt, which we've discussed. Keep your expenses low. As people's incomes go up, a lot of time they ratchet up their expenses. They get the nicer car, the nicer cell phone, or you just fill in the blank, and that's what they do. And then you got to get into saving and investing aggressively, which is really key as you try to get on this journey, because you can really accelerate how fast you can build your wealth. For me, I set a goal. I looked at what I had available and set a goal to be there by age 40. I was able to do it. And then boosting your income, instead of getting what I call income lock, where you get stagnant, you know, you're stuck at $40,000 a year or 50 or 80 or whatever that number is, always look for more potential that you can, you know, put out and bring into your home and to support your family. And then finally, with all of that knowledge and all of that amazing stuff that you've learned, I really believe you need to put together your own millionaire plan. And that's what's going to get you across the goal line, is taking all this thing, these knowledge, these things that you're learning, setting a specific date when you're going to cross that goal line. Because if you set that date, it may not happen exactly when or where you think it'll happen, but it will happen because you've set it in front of you.
Do you sometimes feel, though, if you set the date and the date comes and goes, it just takes the wind out of your sails? I know we're coming up on New Year's resolutions and everything. How do people actually stick with that millionaire plan?
Yeah, I think it comes down to accountability, setting a goal in front of you and accountability, and give yourself some grace, right? Don't think of yourself as a failure. Just keep going after it. You know, if you keep working and moving towards the goal and just kind of keep it in front of you, then you'll eventually hit it. But for me, I'm an out of sight, out of mind guy, so I need to keep my goals in front of me very visually. Otherwise, I'll forget about them, or maybe I'll get distracted with something else that's come across. So I would advise just, you know, sticking it up in front of you, making it part of your daily life. Like, we have some shirts that I love. It says, anyone can become a millionaire, why not you? Mm. And what I'm really trying to do is, like, I want everybody in the family to have one of those shirts wearing around the house. Because, you know, if you've got 4 kids, you know, in my family, we've got 6 kids. And I'm like, man, have the kids wearing the stuff around. Get them to rewire the way they think about their lives. And that kind of reminds you of this goal that you've got all the time, so that you're not going out wasting your money.
Now, you have 6 kids. Wow. Do you mentor your own children about money? I'm sure that has to happen.
It does, to some degree. I think I could do a better job with that. So, like, you know, when I went off to college, my parents didn't really help me plan. They were just like, hey, you need to go to college. And then it was really all on my plate to figure it out, where I wanted to go, how I wanted to pay, how I was going to pay for it, and all of these kinds of things. My parents supported me a lot, but they didn't help me plan it. And so for my child, I was doing the right things to help him get off to college, but I never sat down and helped him put together his own, like, college budget to help him get his head around his expenses. And my kids were really good about not spending money, so we have very frugal children. They don't waste money. The problem with that, and I didn't anticipate this, is they didn't have what I would call, like, the ambition to accumulate money, because they had enough to pay for the things they wanted, and they didn't want very much. So they were very frugal. But they weren't stockpiling cash in accounts and things like that. They saved enough to pay for their car, and they're like, oh, that's what I need. And then they were good. And so that's something I could have done a little bit better, is to help them get a better vision for where their future could be and the potential behind it. So that's something I'm still working on learning myself.
Yeah, it's the hustle factor, you know. It's a certain kind of personality that wants to go out and get. You have to be hungry, I guess.
Absolutely.
What was a part of your book that you really enjoyed writing the most?
I really liked all of it. I think that probably the one that made me the happiest once I got through it was, I really was trying to go, what do I have to offer the public, you know, the market, that's different from what else is out there? And I think most financial books that are out there are really, it's the author's writing. And I really wanted to let other millionaires tell their own stories. And so I've got a chapter in the book called Millionaires Talk. And I really did not know what was going to come back when I asked these people to write these chapters, you know, share their thoughts. And I was really happy when they came back and, you know, they told their story, and I gave them 3 to 5 pages. So we have 3 stories in there right now. And it echoed exactly what was contained in my book. And I thought that was just amazing that, you know, here are these 3 different people from 3 different walks of life, you know, 1 African-American family. And they actually shared and said, this is the story and how we walked out our journey to get to become a millionaire. And it actually reinforced all the same principles that were in my book. So that came back very validating for me, but I think it came back very inspiring for my readers. And I was pretty excited about that chapter.
Realistically, how long would it take someone to become a millionaire?
Yeah, I think for me, I figured 15 years, but, you know, for some people, they're going to do it a lot faster. I thought I was fairly successful by doing it by age 40. And then as I was writing my book, I met the guy who did it by the time he was age 30. And he grew up in a low income family in L.A., you know, in a worse poverty than I was in. And I'm like, wow, I don't feel so special anymore. This guy did it 10 years before me. And then I met another guy that did it by age 25, and he grew up in a low-income family, and he just decided at age 5 that he said, I don't want to live like this. And so he changed his whole cycle and his family cycle. So I think it really depends on when you get started, just to get started. So once you change your mindset, you know, I would say 15 years is probably really aggressive, but it can be done in a 20-year time span or 30. It's just going to – I think the main thing is just to grab hold of the idea and go, I'm going to make this happen. It may not happen exactly like I think it will, but I'm still going to make it happen. And so the plan is going to change along the way, but as long as you stay true to the goal, you'll get there.
Does entrepreneurship come into play here?
I think for some people, but, you know, I met people that were not, that, you know, they just are good at saving. They're frugal. They're not going out buying the new TV. They're not going out buying, wasting their money. They're just putting it back and saving it, investing it. And so they get there just as well. It might take them a little bit longer, but, you know, a startup entrepreneur could get there. And if they don't manage their money, though, they won't get there. So just because you're an entrepreneur doesn't mean you're going to find success and become a millionaire.
Now, you also are a big advocate for mentorship. What was something that a mentor helped you with that really was a big life changer for you?
I think the big one for me was business leadership. No secret, I worked for Dave Ramsey for a long time. And when I went into that organization, my mindset was I had an income mindset. When I job changed to go to work for Dave, I actually took a huge pay cut, about 25%. And I went in as a digital, you know, programmer, business guy, and I was able to get business opportunities while I was there. But learning leadership under Dave Ramsey was just amazing for me. It's not something I got from school or college or my parents, really anywhere else. But Dave is a tremendous leader and leadership development person. And so I would say that's probably the single biggest thing that helped me was just how much he sewed into his employees and his teams and his leaders. And I would recommend that to anybody, is just to go down that path. And, you know, self-growth, the self-growth path is really the big thing. Just always invest and reinvest in yourself.
And you worked your way up there with the Dave Ramsey organization. You started, how did you get the job in the first place as a digital?
So I was actually, I had been playing around with the internet. You know, this is late 1990s. And I just loved it when I figured out what you could do with data and, you know, put something in Nashville and pull it up in New York. And, you know, that was just fascinating to me that you can move data around like that and connect people. And so that's what drew me into the internet age and the internet world. And so Dave and their company was actually looking to go into the internet and actually try to invest in their structure, business structure. And at the time, the company was relatively small. It wasn't like a super small business, about 30 employees when I got there. And that was kind of my claim to fame, is to help Dave's organization grow up in the digital space and become a digital business. And it was a great journey. I loved it. Had a good time there, 15 years.
You enjoyed it. You became what, VP and CIO, COO?
Yeah, it was a good run. It was a good time.
Wow. And what was the deciding factor for you to move on and move into your own with the Millionaire Choice?
Yeah, so after about 15 years, you know, it's a long run with any company. And so I got to a place where I really didn't fit the company and they didn't fit me any longer. And the best way to describe that would be like a square peg in a round hole. What they needed me to do, I could no longer do. And what I wanted to do, they didn't have that opportunity for me. And so we parted ways, May of 2016. And then I kind of, you know, midlife kind of thing. I don't know if you've ever read the book by Bob Buford. It's called Halftime. And it's really about people in their, you know, 40s and 50s when they hit that kind of midlife stage and they're going, what's next? You know, this is what I've done the first half of my life. What am I going to do with the rest of it? And so I found myself in that place going, you know, here I am, a 45, 46 year old man, got a family, six kids. You know, what's next for me? And it really took me probably a year to before I actually started writing this book. And that's what was so interesting, is I left Dave's on May 2nd, 2016. And then May 24th, 2017 was when I got the vision to write this book and started down that track. So it's kind of about a year just kind of going, you know, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? And this is what I want to do with it.
Yeah. And your mission is really noble. You want to help as many people as possible to get out of poverty.
Yeah, I think financial education is a way to do that. You can talk to different people about different strategies. If they're, you know, whether it's, you know, give them a handout, help them because they're in a tough place or whatever those things are. But I think financial education really kind of starts because with what you have to do better with what you have no matter where you're at. And you know, sadly, my parents and my sister didn't come along with me on this millionaire journey, even though I was part of their family. They knew what I was doing. They knew my story. They still haven't read my book. And so, you know, sadly, they're kind of still in the same place. And so they didn't make that choice. Yeah, I really like to envision a world where there's only two types of people, and that's millionaires and future millionaires, because I believe everybody can be on that journey.
I love it. It's after the holidays. Some of us have a Christmas bonus. Do you have any ideas of how to put that extra windfall to work for us?
Yeah, I would obviously get out of debt. If I have any debt, I would get rid of the debt as much as possible and just keep ticking away on that. And my next one would be, you know, look at your retirement. Not retirement. I hate the word retirement, because it's, you know, when you're young, it's too far away and you don't care about it. And when you're older, you're scared to death of it because you didn't put enough money back. So I really like the concept of, you know, when do you get to live life the way you want to? And for me, that age needs to be at least 59 and a half or sooner. And the reason I set that date is because I believe you need to give yourself enough time to enjoy your life. And my mom passed away at 67, so she didn't have a lot of time after retirement to enjoy your life. And so I try to get people to move that date up instead of thinking about, you know, as the government's moving it back, I want people to move the date up. And 59 and a half is the benchmark for me. So I want people to do that, but really think about how much money you can actually stick back for that date, right? Because traditional wisdom says put 15% of your income back for that day for when you retire. I really want people to put absolute numbers down. And, you know, I like to start with $10,000 a year and then see what you can do to ratchet that up. And so for me, the minimum to put back per year would be 10 grand and then just keep moving that number up as you make more income or manage your money better.
The Millionaire Choice, Millionaire or Not. Now, you have a special offer on that book, don't you?
Yeah, we just started launching it just today, actually, freebook.themillionairechoice.com. And I really want to get the book into as many people's hands as possible. So we're giving away the book for free. Just pay shipping and handling, and you'll be able to take it home, pass it around, whatever you want to do with it. And yeah, and so we're pretty excited about that because I do think it's about getting it into as many people's hands as possible.
Oh, yeah. You've got some great reviews on it, and it's a perfect time of, you know, starting 2020 on the right foot. Get the book and get the plan. Thank you so much. Tony Bradshaw has been my guest. And a website where we can go to learn more?
Yeah, you can go to themillionairechoice.com. That's the best place to find the information.
Fantastic. And we'll also have links on our website, selftalkradioshow.com. Tony, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Sarah. I really enjoyed it.
I'm Sarah Spencer for Self Talk Radio Show. If you're a fan of Self Talk Radio Show, head out to our Facebook page, take a picture of yourself listening to the show, and you could win yourself a $25 gift card courtesy of Pure Energy Apothecary or one of our guests or sponsors. Thank you so much for listening to Self Talk Radio Show, mind-changing radio, where you can find it on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and of course at selftalkradioshow.com.